And that was a blessing. I've been with a lot of folks within the last week of their life here on this earth, and I've been with them in hospitals and homes, many, many places. I have never had one who is saved say they wish they'd never gotten saved. They never, never. It's what he just saying, no regrets. And I'm just so glad that I'm saved. What a blessing. It's just great to be saved. Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13 and verse 24. I want to talk to you tonight. The title of the message, Gather the Wheat, Gather the Wheat. Matthew 13 and verse 24 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 37, Jesus explains this to the disciples. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I take my text from the last part of verse 30. Gather the wheat. Gather the wheat into my barn. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching tonight, and I pray that you'll help us to realize just how important it is that we harvest the harvest that is out there. God, that we go out and we tell others about Jesus, and God, that we gather the wheat. And Lord, please work in our church and work in our lives, that we get excited about this thing called soul winning, and that we are good witnesses and good testimony for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We, of course, read this, and the first thing we think about is the tares. It seems that that is the most important thing as we're reading this. There's a lot given to the tares, but I don't think God wants us to think a lot about the tares. I think he wants us to get excited about the wheat. And that's very clear when he says, let both grow together until the harvest. Now, the harvest will come, and God knows who's saved. God knows who isn't saved. And God knows who the wheat is. God knows who the tares are. We're just supposed to do our best so that when it's time to gather the wheat, we've done our part. We've won many people to Christ. We've seen a lot of people saved. I mean, how much wheat is the result of Berean Baptist Church? That's really what it's all about, because the cry will come someday, gather the wheat. And have we sown the seed? Have we done our part? But so many times these weeds are talked about, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but there's always somebody who will say, well, you know, I'm not so sure if they're really saved, or you know, I'm not sure that was a good decision. Or, of course, Larry hears this all the time. Well, they only made that decision because they're in jail or something like that. Folks, quit trying to be the tear sheriff, all right? You know, it's not up to us to try to decide who is and who isn't. It's up to us to tell people how to be. It's up to us to give out the gospel. It's up to us not to spot the tares. We're supposed to have a part in the wheat gathering, amen? We're supposed to just tell people. We're supposed to give them the gospel and quit trying. You know, I'm so afraid that in our circles today, people are just so, they're watching to see who is saved and who's not and trying to figure that out instead of going out and accomplishing the Great Commission. We're spending too much time analyzing each other, and what we need to do is go out and spread the seed, amen? So that when it's time to gather the wheat, we'll be able to say, hey, I had a part in that. He says, let both grow together. Don't worry about the tares. Just gather the wheat or have a part in the gathering of the wheat. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about that very thing. And of course, that is going to happen someday. Berean Baptist Farms, how does that sound? That's what we're in the farming business now. And I'm an authority on farming. I had a garden once. Yeah. Seriously, if we would get our mind off of the tares and the wheat that's already here, and we'd get our minds and our hearts on getting some more harvest out there, that we would get our hearts and our minds on spreading the seed, we would get our hearts and our efforts. You know, we're too busy analyzing the tares. And if we would quit thinking about the tares tonight, I'll be honest with you, God has a plan for us, and it is to bring forth lots of fruit. And so the first thing I want you to see is the plan. The plan. And very, very clearly, the Bible says here that it is the Lord's plan. It is God's plan. The Bible says that in verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. Well, the Bible says over in the other passage, our passage in verse 37, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now, you know, the Son of Man, that, you know, the Lord, it is His plan. It is His plan that we do some farming. It is His plan that we help sow some seed. It is His plan that we literally, I mean, you say to the Lord, well, Lord, is it all right if we farm here? Well, yeah, that's my plan. God, would it be okay if in Lenawee County we farm? We'd like to have Berean Baptist Farms, and we want to farm a little bit here, and we want to plant some seed here in this county. We want to plant some seed here in Adrian. We want to plant some seed in Tecumseh. We want to plant some seed in Clinton. We want to plant some seed in Deerfield. And Lord, would it be okay if we, this is yours, God, this is all your world here. Would it be all right if we plant some seed? What's His plan? That's His plan. Look at Matthew 9, verse 35. Just to give you some idea here, Matthew 9 and verse 35. The Bible says, verse 36, I'm sorry, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Lord, do you care if we harvest a little bit in Adrian? Lord, would it be okay if we harvest in Lenawee County? And God says, there's plenty of harvest. We just need somebody that'll do it. It's His plan. It's His plan. He tells us, Matthew 16, verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. It's His plan. It's His plan to use us. It's His plan to let us be stewards. It's His plan that we farm the land, that we go out and help out with the harvest, that we plant the seed, that we do our part. It's His plan. It's His plan. Lord, do you care if we go win souls here in Adrian? Is it all right, God, if we go tell people in Lenawee County the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Matthew 28 and verse 19. Not only is it the plan of God, but you'll notice, and we know this to be true, we know these verses, Matthew 28, 19, it's His command, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I mean, very, very clearly, it's His plan. It's His plan that we go out and we get people saved. It's His plan that we go tell them how to be saved and then they trust Christ. But it says here, teaching them to observe all things. Not only do we get them saved, but we teach them to observe all things so they can go out and they can farm a little bit themselves. Amen. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be. That's why we're still here. Amen. That is why we're still here. We're not here just to get a little bit of dust on us. We're not here to just kind of watch everything. We're here to work. We're here to have a part in the plan, Berean Baptist Farms. We look, hey, God says, not only is it all right, I'm telling you to do it. John 15:16, and there are verse after verse after verse. I don't want to spend a lot of time. John 15:16, he says this, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Is that hard to understand for us? You know, it's okay if you want to think it's your idea, but it's his idea. He says, I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's that teaching them to observe all things, amen? That your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And that's the plan. That is the plan. He wants us to build here. He wants us to farm here. He wants there to be a gathering here. He wants Lenawee County to have a great, great gathering of the wheat. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if we don't get busy, it's not going to be a very great gathering. It's going to be an embarrassment. And by the way, for so many churches in our world today, that's how it is. There's not much sowing going on. And if there's not much sowing, there's not going to be much reaping. That's exactly right. Because the call will come, gather the wheat. And did you have a part? Did you have a part? All that harvest out there, all that's available, all that vacant land to farm. I mean, it's all around here. There are still people, I guarantee there are still people that have not had a knock from any Berean Baptist church member's fingers. All across this area. Now, you know, there are many that get their doors knocked on all the time right around the church. They know us pretty well. But all around, amen? That's the plan of God, the Son of Man. That's what the Bible says. The Son of Man is, it is God's plan. And what are we doing about it? His plan, number two, is the potential. Number one's the plan. Number two, the potential. The potential. Go back to our text in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 and verse 38. Look at the potential. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. Good seed. That's seed that has life in it. That's a seed I was preaching about this morning. That's a seed that God says, if that seed is sown, the result is going to be the children of the kingdom. The result's going to be the wheat harvest. The result is going to be, okay, if they don't receive the seed, if the ground isn't right for the seed and refuses the seed, if they don't trust Christ, then they're going to be tares. But if they do trust Christ, if they will receive that seed, which is eternal life, wow. Now, in that seed is potential. In your Bible, in the Word of God, there's potential. There's life that is there. Hey, the little gospel tract that you take and you hand, there's potential there. I mean, something can happen. It contains the seed that a person needs to read to see their need and to call upon Jesus to save them. There's potential. There's potential here within your mouth. If you'll just speak, there's potential. God says, my word, he says it will accomplish the purpose. I preached on it this morning. But again, we sit back and I'm reminded of what Haggai said in Haggai 2:19. Is the seed yet in the barn? Because all the good seed in the world and the best seed and the life-giving seed, if it's kept in the barn, it isn't going to do any good. It's got to be scattered. It's got to be planted. Potential's there. Potential's there. God said it will accomplish, but it's got to get out there. You know, honestly, when you're dealing with it's God's plan and the potential is the life that God offers and God gives, it really looks good. Why is it we wouldn't give out tracts? Why wouldn't we tell our coworkers? Why wouldn't we speak to our loved ones? What are we afraid of? Well, you know, they'll get mad. Okay, are they going to go more to hell mad or not mad? I mean, the potential is in the seed. And if we don't ever give the seed. That's what I'm telling you. You have loved ones. You have people that are in your family. You have people that you know. You have coworkers who have no clue. They know you go to church. They might be sitting, seriously, they might be standing back wondering, why don't you ever talk to me about this? You go to church, you're excited, why don't you talk? Well, you know, I'm afraid I'll run them off. Run them off from what? They're already on their way to hell. What are you going to run them off to? I mean, if you don't give them the seed, then they get nothing. They get nothing. If the seed is in the barn, then it isn't going to help them. It can't help them. If the seed is in the barn and you work at the factory, then if you don't take the seed into the factory, then nothing's going to happen. If the seed's in the barn and you leave it there and you go to the public school and you never take the seed into the public school, then they're never going to hear. I've testified many times. I don't think it was any one message that God used for me to get saved. I think it was a combination of many times. People gave me tracts, people witnessed to me, people talked to me. I mean, it just was a continual working of God in my life. And you're not willing to give out a tract. You're not willing to talk to somebody. You're not willing to talk to them and explain to them the truth of the gospel because there's potential. But there is no potential if the seed's in the barn. Nothing's going to happen. In fact, I think if you believe in odds, I think the odds are good. If you scatter the seed, something's going to happen. In fact, I think the potential is real good that the more seed you scatter, the more is going to happen and the more chances something's going to happen. You know that's true. You know that's true. If you soak a seed in water, it'll rot. And I'm afraid we have a lot of watered down lives. And that's what's happening to the seed. And that's why people are going to hell all around us. I know there's a lot of watered down preaching going on today. A lot of watered down ministries that used to be soul winning ministries, but they're watered down and it'll just make the seed rot. See, the seed is perfect. At Pentecost, the seed worked. With the early church, the seed worked. In the Great Awakening, the seed worked. You know, over and over and over and over again, the seed has worked. Amen? The same seed. King James Bible, we see the devil trying to get the King James Bible out of the churches. You can't hardly find a King James Bible in Adrian. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said they were trying to find a King James Bible in bookstores, and they said they weren't sure where they were going to be able to go. And I said, well, you can come here. That's all we have. You know, yes, could I get a King James Bible? Oh, I'll have to look. Let me go back in the way back of the warehouse. I might be able to find something. That's sad. That seed works. It worked on my life. Amen. Same seed. I get asked all the time, you folks use the King James Bible in your church? I'm thinking of somebody right now. I said, yeah, oh yeah, that's all we use. They said, wow, we have there. I don't know of anybody that's like that. We're going to visit your church. They haven't yet. Unless they're here tonight. Anyway. You know, I think about Granny's beans. You know Granny's beans. I'm going to tell you something. Granny's beans, you just couldn't beat Granny's beans. I don't remember what they were called now, but there was a certain kind of beans. And I remember when we did have our garden, I wanted that seed. And I went to Granny and I said, hey, I got to have that seed. I don't want any other beans. Those are the beans I want. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we have the seed. It's perfect seed. And you know what? There's folks here, you'd fight tooth and nail for the King James Bible, but you won't fight anything to get it out. I mean, if it comes down to the King James Bible, you say, bless God, I'll fight them off. And then when it comes down to spreading that seed, it's like, oh, well, I have a hangnail and I don't think I can do it. And carrying tracts, if I carry tracts, the ink might get on my nice white shirt. It's sad. It really is. The same seed It's got potential. It's worked before. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Every now and then I'll have somebody say, well, if I give out a tract, they'll just throw it away. Yeah. Boy, I've watched so many people read tracts. They sneak. You ever watch them? You give them a tract, they sneak off to a corner. Don't want you to see them looking at it. It's a seed. Okay, that's a... Let me tell you something. You say, well, you know, but I'm not sure if it'll work. It's not up to you to decide if it works or not. God already said it works. You just give it out. Amen. I mean, it is not, the burden is not on you to see if it works. Now, I do many times. I'll give out a tract and I'll watch them, you know, because I'm kind of excited about that. And they'll walk away, you know, and they'll open it up. And you kind of watch them there and looking at it and everything. That's good stuff. It really is. But the burden's not on me. It's up to Him. It's His plan, and He's given us the seed that has the potential. It works. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. About forgot where I was. It says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Notice that? The same thing. You know, hey, I was saved, and Jesus made sure I got the seed. He made sure that, boy, many, many times, I got bombarded with the seed. I had people from the time I was a young person all the way up telling me how to be saved and all that opportunity. God says, now you do the same thing. You do the same thing. I remember when I was so burdened for my dad to get saved, and I was down in Bible college, and I remember how one day I was thinking, God, and I was praying, asking God to send somebody by my dad's house. There was a good Baptist church right up the road from dad's, and they went and got thrown out of his house many times. But I just kept praying, God, send somebody. And I remember one time God said, God said to me, I'll send somebody to your dad, but there's somebody else wanting you to go to their dad.
Oh, amen.
I said, oops. That is an oops. Amen? I wonder, you know, we're praying for loved ones in other states and praying for loved ones in other areas and that live far away, and we're praying for them. And what if your neighbor, what if their loved one is across the nation somewhere and they're begging God for that Christian to go to their loved one, and you live right next door and you've never said a word. Not a word, not a tract, nothing. Or they're begging God for somebody at work to talk to their loved one. Oh, that guy, preacher, that guy's mean. He's mean. What's he going to do? Kill you? Oh, he might really get mad. If he's not saved, he's already mad. I got news for you. He's going to really be mad in hell. He's going to really be upset in hell. Especially when he realizes that he had a Christian working with him who never said a word to him. You say, well, I won't know about that. Oh, what a wicked, wicked attitude. Potential's there. When is the last time you told somebody how to be saved? When is the last time? I mean, seriously. Number three is the preparation. Number one is the plan. It's God's plan. Number two is the potential. It's the Word of God. Number three is the preparation. And back to our text in Matthew 13, in verse 38, it says the field is the world. Preparation. You know, the Bible says break up your fallow ground. That's that hard ground. Break it up. If you're going to farm, you got to break up that ground. You got to loosen up that soil. You have to plow that up and loosen it up so the seed can get down deep and everything. I think right ground is so important as far as preparation. If you don't pray, you probably will never see anything happen. You know, the thing about soul winning is, what about every day just saying, God, lead me across the path of somebody who wants to be saved? God, just lead me across the path. Now, that doesn't mean everybody that you run into wants to get saved, but that means, God, I'm really looking for somebody who wants to get saved. And you hand out tracts, and every now and then, have you ever handed out a tract? Somebody says, wow, I was just thinking about this. Whoa! You say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Well, really, did you pray? Have you ever prayed that way? You ever said, God, lead me to someone who's lost? By the way, that'd be a whole lot better soul winning than pick a place on the map. You know. Oh, I shouldn't be doing this. I have no idea where I am now. Oh, okay. That's where I'm going. All right. Hello. Preparation. God, I want to see somebody saved. God, please give me an opportunity. God, please open a door. God, somebody is searching for you. Somebody has a need. Somebody will listen. Break up that fallow ground by praying. Break up that fallow ground by having the power of the Holy Spirit on your life. I'm talking about being Spirit-filled. The only way we can be Spirit-filled is to get rid of garbage that's in us so the Holy Spirit can take its place. I mean, being Spirit-filled is the person that's going to be led by the Spirit. Well, I don't ever run into anybody that's lost. Really? Wow. Now our staff might say that if they're here all day long. But the truth is, nobody's here all day long. You go places. You go out in the public. You're around other people. There's nothing more exciting than to go somewhere and someone say, I was just thinking about that. You say, well, what if they slam the door in my face? Okay. Then, obviously, if they do it soon enough, you didn't waste any time. Hello? Right? I mean, I'd rather them slam the door in my face than to let me get in there and they sick the dog on me. You say, preacher, no, listen to me. Preparation. Listen, the field is the world, and it's a field, and it has to get plowed. It has to get plowed up. And the way it gets plowed up is God's people pray. When is the last time you prayed for a lost person to get saved? I don't want to embarrass Rick Mormon, but I don't really mind embarrassing Rick Mormon. But Rick's come to men's prayer time many, many times and said, pray for the people that I work with, that God will deal with them so I can talk to them. I love that. I love that. We have such a good time with that. And he's had some open doors where people that he could not believe talked to him. They talked to him. Now, folks, you got to understand, that's preparation. Well, what about, hey, God, maybe you shouldn't say, hey, God, but Lord, here's Lenawee County, and would you soften up the hearts of the people? Would you work on the hearts of the people? Here's my bus route, God. Would you work on the hearts of the people? We think we're so important. And we're really not. Amen. Just go. We think it all rests on us. Oh, I better have a good illustration. I'd better have all my points down. I'd better not mess up in the plan. I got news for you. If you will prepare your heart and ask God to prepare their heart, nothing can go wrong. Baby cry, no big deal. Dog bark, no big deal. Phone ring, no big deal. It always works out when God's in it. We are just there. And I got news for you. That breaking up the fallow ground and all that, the right ground, it needs to be right here in our church too. The Bible talks about the seed going and some of the seed gets snatched away by the birds and then some of the seed there's no root because it didn't go down far enough and then it's sown among thorns and people are so worldly and I got news for you. The receptiveness of the Word of God by God's people, it helps lost people to receive the Word of God too. People can tell when there's a bad spirit. People can tell when there's a receptive spirit. It's obvious. And besides, whether people can tell or not, God can tell. And we ought to always be receptive and be as the seed that went in and there was fruit that abounded and it did a work and it did the work in the people's lives. We ought to have an attitude to receive as the Berean Christians did in Acts 17. We ought to have the right ground ourselves. Amen? But not only should we have the right ground, we ought to have the right climate. This is all part of preparation. The right climate. I mean, it's important to ask a farmer. Early frost can ruin things. Hail can ruin things. Not enough rain can ruin things. Too much rain can ruin things. I'll never forget the time I had a farmer. He was doing it was my popcorn guy. And he was trying truck crops and selling vegetables and everything. And he had about a half of an acre in cabbage. I don't like cabbage, so I really didn't care what happened to his cabbage other than the fact the guy tithed. And one day, I'll never forget, we had a whole lot of rain. And he called me up and he said, Pastor, he said, you got to come. I said, what am I doing? He said, I got all my workers out here. We're praying for the cabbage. That was hard. That's like praying for cats. I said, all right, I'll come. Because this guy loved God. This guy loved the Lord. And he really wanted God's will to be done. And so I'll never forget this as long as I live. I pull up there at his house, and I see his half acre of cabbage there, and he had four workers standing out there in the cabbage field in water this high. It was all over the cabbage, and they were standing out there, and they were praying. I'm wearing my suit. I said, Brian, I said, what do you want me to do? He said, I need you to pray for the cabbage, preacher. He said, we're going to lose this crop. And he said, it's going to be bad. He said, I need you to pray. And I mean, here's all his workers. They're not bowing. Glory to God. I'm glad we didn't have to lay on our faces and pray. But you know what we did? We prayed for cabbage. Because water had flooded it. And it was about to be ruined. And you know, God blessed that. And God answered that prayer. Climate's important. And he had too much rain. Amen. And it's also true in with God's harvest. With God's harvest, the climate is a key. It's so crucial. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. If lost people don't realize that you love them, if they don't understand that you love them, how could they possibly understand that Jesus loves them? How could a lost person possibly even grasp the love of Christ if you yourself, they don't understand that you love them? It's not possible. It's not possible. And we need to be loving, and we need to be a loving church. And when people come in here, they need to know they're loved. They need to understand that they're loved. 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1 and verse 3. By the way, when you go soul winning, you need to speak the truth in love. You say, well, I'm not sure exactly how to do that. Oh, great. You've got a good start, because the truth of the matter is, you don't just force it and you don't just figure it out. You say, God, help me to love them like you love them. Because you're not going to be able to love people right till you love like he loves. You can't love your own wife right, sir, if you don't love like he loves. Let him love through you, then you'll love her right. Let him love through you, then you can love that teenager like that teenager should be loved. Let him love through you, then you can love that husband like he needs to be loved. Amen? Let him love through you, and then you can love that church member like they need to be loved. You say, well, they're turkey buzzards. No, the fact of the matter is, you're a turkey buzzard because you won't let Jesus love through you because you'd rather be mad at them. You'd rather be upset at somebody. You'd rather carry a grudge. Jesus didn't carry a grudge. Amen? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, I need him to love through me, or I can't love people like they need to be loved. That's soul winning, right? That's how you soul win. That's how you go into somebody's home and how you talk to them about the Lord. That's how you talk to somebody on the street about the Lord, is you say, God, help me to love them. Help me to love them like you love them. Because sometimes they're not as lovely as you'd like them to be. Sometimes they're not as lovable as you'd like them to be. But you can love them. What is it about the Carl Hatch, who's one of the greatest soul winners the world's ever known, that his preacher, or the preacher that finally won him to Christ, he went back over and over and over and over and over again, right up here in Flint, Michigan, and he said, Carl, I love you. And Carl cussed him out. Carl, I love you. And Carl threw him out. Carl, I love you. And Carl gave him all kinds of wicked words and called him all kinds of things. Said, get away from me. I'll kill you if you come again. He said, Carl, I love you. But he said it with a tear in his eye. He didn't work that up, folks. He didn't try to work it up. What did he do? God, help me to love people. Help me to love people. Help me to love them. Help me to see them the way you see them. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. That's a hard thing for us. It's hard for me to see people the way God sees them. I get in somebody's home and I see sometimes I'll see a mess. Sometimes, and I can testify all kinds of unique situations. I remember many, many times sitting down on a chair and sticking to it. That's hard. I can remember the house where they had no electricity, and they had an extension cord running from the one house to the other house, and what was plugged in was nothing to take care of the children. It was to watch television in the middle of winter in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's hard for us to love people and to really love people. Okay, quit trying to fake it then and ask God to help you love people. Because if you fake it, they'll figure it out. And we have to speak the truth in love. 1 John 1, I got to hurry. 1 John 1, verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You'll notice that there's fellowship, there's joy, there's a Spirit-filled place. A Spirit-filled atmosphere. That's what I'm talking about, the preparation. I mean, you know, if you don't prepare for anything to happen, guess what? Nothing will. It really won't. If you start work tomorrow and you've already got it figured out, I'm not going to talk to anybody about the Lord. I'm not going to take any tracts. I'm not going to tell anyone the gospel. I refuse to do it. Guess what? Nothing's going to happen. But if you start out tonight on the altar saying, God, please lead me to someone who's lost. God, please help me to love them as I should. Hey, let me tell you, I remember the guy in Shreveport, Louisiana. He walked in, he was drunk as drunk could be. Came into church. I mean, he was drunk as could be. He put his arm around me. He says, hey, preacher, I thought I'd come in and listen to your message. You know, you ever have anybody drunk burp on you? It's just nasty. It really is. And if you'd have lit a match, it would have caught the whole place on fire. But he had his arm around me, and he smelled, and he was nasty as could be. I said, God, I need to love that guy. Somebody needs to love him. Is that true or not? You know, out here in this congregation, there's a whole bunch of you. You were that drunk. You were that drunk. You were that drug addict. That was your life. I was the long-haired hippie freak that I wouldn't think anybody. And there's some of you, you would not even stop and talk to me if I walked in as a teenager like I was. How sad. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't happen by accident. You say, God, help me love people. I need to love people because that's going to give us the right atmosphere. That's going to give us the climate that we need in our church so that people get saved. I'm always pleased, and we've had several people visit us, and my wife and I have got to visit them, and they've said, boy, your people are so friendly. Okay, that's good step right there. But how do our people respond? How do our people listen? How do our people, what is the atmosphere? Is there that spirit of fellowship? Is there that spirit of joy? Is there a Spirit-filled kind of a service? Because that's where people get saved. Is that your life? Because that's where people will get saved when you go soul winning. Is it exciting? Do you shake hands? Do you welcome? Are you friendly? Be a thermostat. We're so concerned with being a thermometer. I don't think things are right in here. That's the thermometer. We're not supposed to be a thermometer. We're supposed to be a thermostat. We're supposed to set the temperature. And I'm going to tell you, we can do that by saying, God, help me to be what I need to be for my church. Help me to be what I need to be for the lost around us, our neighbors, people around. You know, come on. We have more kids now and more people hanging around our playground than in the 7 years I've been here. I mean, it's a whole new crop of kids. And they're hanging around all over the place here. Hey, I my wife and I do our best. We talk to them. I had one of the boys say the other day, said he was telling another group, said pointed to my wife, and I said, those are the best people on the block right there. I was thinking he should have said the city, but I'll take it. But you know what? What bothers me is some of those kids and some of those people, they'll walk by you and you don't even say hi to them. But see, it's God, please. God, help me to be that way. You know, I don't buy this stuff. I'm an introvert and I don't... You're not an introvert when you're watching your ball team. Hello, ma'am, you're not an introvert when you're shopping at Kmart for the blue light special and there's five women ahead of you and you tackle through all five of them to get that thing. Yeah, it's amazing how your introversion goes away then. I don't know if that's a word or not. Look it up. It might be. Amen. Amen. Oh, let me tell you something, folks. We're missing it. We really are, because there's going to be a call for gathering the wheat, and it's going to be sad what a lot of people's lives are going to be lacking. His plan, the potential, the what was my other thing? The preparation. Number four is the productivity, and this is so good. The productivity. He says in verse 30, back in Matthew chapter 13, he says, gather the wheat into my barn. Gather the fruit. Gather. There's got to be work, and there's going to be labor. We can't leave it out. We have the plan. We have the potential. We have the preparation. Now there's got to be work. He that goeth forth. Then say, he that sitteth still. Amen. Somebody says, I'm just not getting a whole lot out of my Christianity. It's because you're sitteth still. Goeth forth. You'll find there's a whole lot of stuff out there. Amen. It's the sitteth still that gets nothing accomplished. Yeah, and you know, we know farming. You labor first, then you have the fruit. You labor for, I mean, here's a farmer who says, you know, I decided I'm not going to plant this year. I decided I'm not going to plant. Guess what? Harvest comes, and what's going to happen? Nothing. Oh, he's going to have a great summer. He's going to do nothing. But he's going to have a terrible fall. You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid a lot of folks are going to have a terrible fall. Because when the call comes to gather the wheat and they come to your farm, yeah, it's going to be that sound that we hear so often. See, the Bible says, goeth forth. By the way, that is our biggest problem. It is. We make all kinds of excuses. Well, I'm just afraid they'll get mad. I'm just afraid somebody will be offended. I'm just, you know, all these things. The truth of the matter is, we just really don't want. You know, we all do what we want to do. Everybody in this room, we do what we want to do. We really do. Honestly, I think about Larry and the prison preaching that he does, and I'm not sure I could do that. Honestly, I just don't know if I could do that. I think I'd be the kind of guy. I'd be finding an excuse every now and then, because he preaches a lot. He preaches probably as much as I do, if not more than I do. And it's not, you know, preaching in the prison is fun. It's exciting, but it's, you know, he doesn't have anybody see him through the week and say, hey, brother, that was a good message. You know why he didn't have anybody see him through the week? Because they're all in jail. He doesn't get a whole lot of encouragement. I mean, they may say something like that. But I'm just saying, you know, he has to do that on purpose. But you do it because you know it's right, and you do it because God told you to do it, and you do what you want to do. I guarantee there's times he doesn't want to do that. I promise you that. But he says, God, help me to want to do it. So he goes and does it. Now, you know, soul winning's moved to Saturday, and you know what? You can go. Amen. But you'll only do it because you want to do it. Amen. Well, I got this, or I got that. No, you can do it, and you should do it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. 2 Timothy 2, 6. By the way, if you won't, then be a babysitter. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. But again, notice, before he's a partaker of the fruits, he's got to labor. He's got to labor. Well, you know, I've been appointed to look for tares. No, you haven't. God didn't appoint you to do that. I'm serious. That stops so many people. You know, well, I'm just watching this person. Well, you know, so-and-so, they said they led five people to the Lord. I only see two of them. That'd be two more than you all last year. Jesus, I just want to remind you, Jesus, when he healed the 10 lepers, he got 1 out of 10 to come back. Now, does that mean the other 9 weren't healed? Hello? Quit trying to be a terror sheriff. You know? Seriously, just if the energy that went into sheriffing the tares would go into just spreading the seed, you might be amazed what God would do with this church. Somebody said, well, I've been noticing the budget on the back of the bulletin. Oh, that's great. I've been noticing it now for the whole year. You just now saw it? You know what? Do you think God is... Do you think that Wall Street, they're better investors than God is? Come on, let's just be honest tonight, folks. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Okay? Who is going to be the best investor? Will it be the Wall Street kings or will it be the King of Kings? Well, do you suppose, you know what Wall Street does when they start putting their money into things? They study it and they look to see what is going to produce. That's where they put their money. You know, I think God looks down on Thursday night and he sees a little group in there. It's getting quiet now, isn't it? Yeah. And he looks and he sees these little groups that are going soul winning. He sees these little groups that are in the bus ministry, and he sees these little groups, and he says, you know, that's a wonderful thing. But honestly, if I'm God, I'm going to say, you know, I'm not seeing the production I'd like to see at a Berean Baptist Church. You say, well, you're a pastor. That's why you think that way. That's why I have to think that way. He's my boss. Amen. It's labor. It always is. We have to plant the seed. We have to work it. We have to do everything we can. We have to make sure we do the best with the ground and pray and be right with God and labor and get the seed out and sowing and watering and God gives the increase. He always does, and we just need to get busy. We really do. I want God to bless. You know, we like to say, well, the reason the budget is not being met is because people's jobs. You know, people here have jobs. People here have had jobs. It's not a matter. You know, if you were to try to figure out who doesn't have jobs right now, you could count them on one hand at Berean Baptist Church. We can dismiss it and think that's our problem. I got news for you, folks. That's not it. The same people have the same kind of jobs, and God's blessing in many, many cases where people are getting overtime and all that. I'm just saying, you know, there is. You want to sit down and figure out everything. I got news for you. That isn't how God works. God doesn't do the figuring out. You know what God has done to Berean Baptist Church over the years? God has blessed. God's put money in. God's brought it in miraculously. God has, it's not because we sit and calculate and figure out who makes what and what 10% of that is. It's God has blessed because God has wanted to invest. I want Him to see us as a good investment. I really do. The plan, the potential, the preparation, the productivity, and the last thing is the product. Gather the wheat. The result is fruit. John calls it fruit, and fruit that remains. Fruit. Souls saved, lives changed. What a wonderful thing when somebody's life is changed. It really is. I just ask you, who told you? How did you hear? Was it somebody at work? Was it a track? Somebody knock on your door. Who told you? Was it like the Bowmans through the bus ministry? And Rob, I believe, started coming, and some soul winners went to the house and talked to them. Who told you? Who was it? You know, it just seems like it would be right that you would now do your part. Amen. Seems like we would do our part now. That's why we're here. Amen. Amen. That is why we're here. And as I preach this morning, the potential, it's all just get the word out. Not our cute illustrations. You know, there are kind of all these soul winning plans. Well, you need to have a great illustration. No, you don't. You just, here's what you need right here. You just need the word. I've got a little business card. It's just got four little things on the back. I can't even see them, but I got them memorized. Amen. The four verses, the plan of salvation. That's all you need. You say, well, you know, I don't have that memorized. Get my business card. Don't hand it out and tell them you're the pastor, especially if you're a woman. But just get the little business card. It's got it all right there if you can read it. Amen. And that's all you need right there. Oh, you believe in easy believism. It is easy. If it wasn't easy, I wouldn't be saved. If I'd have had to climb the mountain, I probably couldn't have got saved. If I'd have had to swum the ocean, I wouldn't have got saved. I know swum's not a word. But Kelvin thought it was. He's sitting, he's shocked. What? But, you know, seriously, if we would all just get busy. Could you imagine what it'd be like? Let's just say half the folks here led one person to Christ this next week. Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, seriously, wouldn't that be something? And let's say that we got one-tenth, as Jesus did. We got one-tenth of them to come get baptized. Wouldn't that be amazing? Hello? Yeah. Folks would get excited, wouldn't they? You say, I'm for it. Are you? How about asking God to use you that way this week? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight who'd say, preacher, I'm not even saved. I've never